1 tonight, please. Luke chapter number 1. I understand that we have advertised an abbreviated service. I'm trying to figure out how to do that, being that I really would like to preach about an hour and a half. So, anyway, Luke chapter 1. Question as we come to Luke chapter number 1. How many of you can remember anything you've ever read about the Declaration of Independence? All right, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. All right, who wants to volunteer that which you remember reading? Anybody? Yeah, you're right. It was July the 4th, 1776 is correct date. Let me read you the two-line section that most of you would remember. And I would say that's probably the only two lines that any of us remember. It says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. I would say that's the only two lines that we remember. And we think that that's the first two lines. But they're the fifth and sixth line. There is one other section that I think maybe we might remember, and that's the very last line. It says, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. That's the only three lines that I think most people know anything about. And I say that to my shame, because that's basically the only three lines that I remembered. Do we realize that it's at least a two-page, small print type document? We didn't realize it was that long, did we? And I read this today, again, and I was shocked with what I didn't realize was in it. I think we need to make a copy of this and send it to all our senators, and send it to our president, and send it to the Supreme Court justices. For there's one section in here that says one thing. Oh, let me back up here. He makes it, to prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. That's the last statement. Then it gives all this whole list here. And then from right there down to here, another list. And right in the middle of that, it says, for imposing taxes on us without our consent. I believe that's very relevant, considering the latest Supreme Court ruling that said that they could impose a tax on us and it's against our consent. But anyway, I'm not here tonight to push a political agenda. I'm here to push an American agenda and a biblical agenda. Okay? I started to make a copy for every family of this, and if you want to get a copy, you can. But it's a quite interesting document. Of course, this document was written, as it says here, to prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. And what I'm trying to say tonight is we as Christians need to have a declaration of independence when it comes to what we are willing to put our life on the line for. If I understand correctly, and here at the bottom, it starts listing, and this whole page right here are listing the signers of the Declaration of Independence. And if I understand correctly my studies, only two of them died with anything, basically. The rest of them lost their fortunes, and many of them lost their lives fighting for this document that they put forth to the world. They were not the type of people that signed their name to a piece of paper and then expected everybody else to fulfill it. They put their names to a piece of paper, and then they were willing to fight for it. Now, you know, this is an amazing document, considering that it's less than 250 years old. It's an amazing document from this standpoint. Studying my family tree brought this document a little more into focus for. I had a grandfather that fought at Kings Mountain for this document. I had another grandfather whose farm was raided 3 times by the British and all his animals confiscated for this document. They were willing to put their life on the line too. And not only did they, but as Americans, we should be willing to do the same thing. But as Christians, we've got to be willing to do the same thing. Luke chapter 1, let's read the first 4 verses, and I'll try to give you an abbreviated message. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. And notice again, verse number 1. He says, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. You know, we're not given the responsibility of writing another book for the Bible. But as sure as this verse is stated, that others had taken it in hand to put forth those things which were believed, we are, as Christians, are called upon to do that every day with our life. For this Declaration of Independence that I held in my hand, again, many, many, many gave their life's blood. God may call upon us, some of us, to give our life's blood. But He's called upon all of us to give our life. And our life is to be this declaration. So tonight, if I had to give a title, it'd simply be, what's your declaration? Now clearly the Bible points out that our citizenship is in heaven, according to Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. That's where our citizenship, as a Christian, that's where our true citizenship is at. The book of Hebrews clearly points out to us that we are but strangers and pilgrims here. Chapter 11, verse 13, 16, clearly points out that we're just strangers. In other words, that word strangers literally means aliens. We're aliens here. In other words, we do not have any right here. We're strangers, pilgrims, just passing through. And we as Christians shouldn't put down roots then, should we? We should not get too carried away with everything here, being that this is not our home. But as the Patriots fought for this, they didn't just fight in order that they may be free. They fought so everybody could be free, even those they didn't agree with. Right? Sort of amazing. You know, I was thinking about this. They didn't fight for a country, for they had none yet. It hadn't been formed yet. All the principles of the country weren't laid. Pretty interesting. But they were fighting for that hope of the land, a country that was going to be formed because of what they were facing. Hey, we don't know what our homeland is like either yet, do we? I mean, we have little snippets of it here, right? We know it's going to be glorious, right? But my old human brain, neither can your old human brain, or young brain either for that factor, can comprehend everything that is coming. But the enjoyment of all that has a lot to do with the way we live our declaration now, right? We got to turn our eyes just like they had to turn their eyes away from England. And by the way, the Declaration of Independence doesn't mention any other country but England. That's the one they were turning away from, right? And of course, the Word of God tells us that we've got to not love the world, right? Tells us not to be conformed to this world. Peter tells us not to be fashioned according to this world. I mean, clearly, the Bible gives us, hey, we've got to say no to this country if we're really going to let our declaration be stated for the next. But this is what we're facing. And I'm afraid that many people that call themselves Christian today, when it comes to their declaration of independence and being involved in the fight concerning that, are AWOL. They're letting somebody else do that which they should be a part of. When it came time for the American, what we call Americans now, to fight, it wasn't just one from each community that went. In some cases, it was the whole community. All the men in the whole community went. Sort of interesting. I mean, you research some of that, you find out that everybody in the whole town, or all the men in the whole church, would up and go, and they'd only leave two or three men behind to help protect the women and the children. The rest of the men would go. Pretty interesting. I mean, they got involved here. This is what we're supposed to do when it comes to our Declaration of Independence as Christians. But anyway, back to this. The declaration, this idea here, in verse number 1, to order a declaration, it means an announcement. It means a clarity stated for that which is believed. And that's exactly what the Declaration of Independence was. It was a clear statement. It was a clear document. As he's made that one statement I read, a candid facts. I mean, to a candid world. I mean, he wanted it to be without question. If you go back and study, you know, Thomas Jefferson and writing and form, I'm sure that he might have had some help in stating it. But anyway, come back to this thought. The declaration should define the cause. And see, in this verse here, what is the declaration? It is that which are most surely believed among us. Now, that little last two words are very important, among us. This is something that they were unified on. This is something, this declaration here was something Americans unified on. It was a common, it became the common cause in the 13 colonies. What if only five of them decided they were going to fight? It wouldn't have happened, would it? No, it was among us. It was a common cause, and the declaration defined the cause. This defined the cause. What is believed among us must define the cause. And we must be unified behind that. Now, that's true of Christianity in each local setting. See, we can't, I mean, it's nearly impossible for, quote, Christianity to be unified across this country. But it can be and should be and must be unified in every local assembly. Can be nothing else but that if you're going to get anything done. And here we see that the declaration defines the cause. Without question, the men that fought turned out to love this country for the most part. But again, they didn't fight for love of country because there wasn't a country then. But nonetheless, they loved their families. They loved their communities. They loved the churches in which they were members and part of at that point in time. And it's really interesting to go back and study our Declaration of Independence, our fight for freedom, and see how the churches across America were the unifying forces that put forth, it was the churches that put forth the units, the fighting units, and many times it was the preacher that would be the leader of that armed unit. And they went forth, and it was the unifying force to win that battle. It's going to be the local churches in their unity again, if, as was prayed earlier, if we have a revival, it's gonna, for Cleveland County, it's gonna have to start in local churches just like this one right here. And it will only start when the declaration defines the cause. And we are unified behind that to move forward and reach this community for Christ. Second thing I see in this, in verse number 1 again, is the declaration declares the convictions. It says, which are most surely believed among us. The declaration declares the conviction. Winston Churchill said this, "A fanatic is one who can't change his mind and won't change the subject." That's a great statement. I want to read it again. "A fanatic is one who can't change his mind and won't change the subject." Now listen to this next quote. "I'd rather have 10 fanatics than 10,000 placid followers." Lenin made that statement. And Lenin overthrew more than one country with his philosophies. Why? Because he gathered around him fanatics that wouldn't change your mind and couldn't change the subject. And until we get to the place where the declaration declares our convictions, and a conviction is something you'll live for and or die for. Otherwise, it's a preference. Don't even try to call it a conviction. Unless you're willing to live for it and die for it. And our declaration should declare what we really believe. We're living in a time of what I consider weak convictions. Why? Because when people are backed in the corner, "Well, maybe I misunderstood," or "No, I'm not willing to do this, I'm not willing to do that." Listen, may I say that convictions are really the spark plugs of action. If you don't have any convictions, you won't have much action, or you won't have it very long. And if I can't live a life of conviction, just let me die. But it says, surely believed among us. Surely, without question. It's out there. Listen, I want people to know what I believe. If it's worth believing, it's worth letting them know you believe it. If it's not worth believing, I can understand why you don't want anybody to know it. Third thing I see here, not only does the declaration define the cause, not only the declaration declare the conviction, but number three, the declaration is based on constants. Verse number two. Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. You say the declaration is based on constants? Yes, it's something that was delivered unto us, he says. In other words, a group before them had it, and they're passing it down to this group. Now, what was Luke doing? He was delivering it to Theophilus. What do you think he was expecting Theophilus to do with it? He was expecting Theophilus to do with it exactly what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 2. He said, "I'm teaching this to you so you can turn around and teach it to faithful men." What does that mean? He considered Timothy to be a faithful man. And what am I expecting to you? I'm expecting you to be faithful men. Faithful people. Take what the Word of God says and make sure you deliver it to somebody else. And of all people, we should deliver it to our own family. It's a sad thing when we as fathers would let our children slip through our fingers and not know what we believe. When they don't know the convictions that we have, they don't know the cause in which we live. It's sad when that takes place. May that not be said of men of this church. Why? Because the declaration is based on constants. Constant is something that needs to be transferred, delivered. The word delivered here means to hand over to. To hand over to. You know, one thing I've learned as I've gotten older is I've noticed some in myself, but I have purposely tried not to let this be true to me. And I thank God that my daddy was not like this. What you're trying to say, Pastor, I've seen some parents that you almost had to take a hammer and beat their fingers to unlock their hands on their children. Wouldn't let their children think. They thought they had to do all their thinking for them. Wouldn't let them make a decision, so they grow up and come to college and don't know how to make a decision. Never sit down and walk them through the steps of thinking with the principles of God's Word. God help us as parents when we do that to our children. When they get out on their own, they don't know how to make a decision because we never helped them do it. What we're trying to say is, I'm the only one that's able to make a decision around here. Pity you, you can't. You got to keep running back to me so I can make them for you. We don't really consider that what we have is something that's constant that we can hand over and allow them to do it. And there's a lot of pastors the same way that don't want their people to think for themselves. I want you to think. I want you to know this book well enough that you can take it and you'll apply it to any problem of life and take this in the Spirit of God and handle the situation yourself. I've had people get mad at me because I wouldn't make their spiritual decision. Not going to. I'll tell you what the Bible says, and I can encourage you and help you, but I'm not going to make your decision. But that's the way we treat. When we really believe that this book is what it says it is, and we really believe the Holy Spirit will do what He said He would do, we can pass it off and hand it and say, all right, here, take care of it. Do this. And that's what I see right here. A declaration is based on constance, that which needs to be and should be delivered and handed over and encouraged, and we've got to do that with our young people. It was said of George Washington, he knew no glory, but his country's good. I hope and pray that when it comes time for me to lay in the casket, that somebody can say, he knew no glory, but his God's good. I want to do the Lord's work. And I want to motivate every one of you to do the Lord's work. You've heard me say this from this pulpit more than once. It would satisfy me that God, if God called every one of you to the mission field. Right? Because I want every one of you serving the Lord. And I understand that you can and you are serving the Lord here. But the Lord's good. Robert E. Lee said this, you can never do more than your duty, and you should never wish to do less. That's a good statement. The declaration is based on constance. Paul said, I have fought a good fight, I have kept the faith. It's a constant. It's something he kept. It was entrusted to him, but at the same time it was entrusted to him, he handed it off to as many people as he could. So they would be entrusted with it as well. We should have a willingness, we should have an eagerness to pass along the constant, that which was delivered unto us. We should deliver to somebody. And when we deliver it to them, it's not just say, here, here's a copy, you take it now. No, it's taking it and using it to mentor and teach and get them to the place where they know what to do with it. See, there are two thoughts there when it comes to knowing what to do with it. The first thing they should know what to do with it is live it. The second thing they should know what to do with it is give it to somebody else. That's the two major things. But number four, the declaration gives a certainty. Notice verse number four. That thou mayest know, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. A certainty. The word certainty here means a security or a safety. And this word is translated safety in Acts chapter 5, verse 23, and 1 Thessalonians 5, and verse number 3. That's the way it's translated. Safety. The declaration gives a safety. Why does it give a safety? Because people are unified. The cause is defined. The convictions are declared. A constant is clearly based in this. But a declaration gives a certainty. And a certainty, again, will cause you and cause me to serve. I've learned this a long time ago. When I was not confident, I didn't want to do it. And that's one thing that my high school basketball coach drilled into us. He said, I want you to have confidence when you step on that court. Because when you have confidence, you will perform. And when you don't have confidence, you will not perform. And a declaration gives confidence. Why? Clearly spelled out, everybody knew what they were fighting for. Everybody knew it too. When they started this, they knew what the consequences would be if they lost. I read not too long ago about some Roman general that went to some place to fight. When he got to a certain place, he told one of his men, go burn the ships. Do you think the men fought a little different when they realized they didn't have any way of retreat? I think so. Gave them a little bit of different view. They were certain they were either going to fight or die. Right? But a declaration gives a certainty. He says there that you may know the certainty, the safety of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. In other words, what you've been instructed, what you've been taught, should cause you to be confident in what to do and how to do it. I learned this a long time ago as well. If I was not confident for some reason, I learned to do this. Would you explain that again? How do you do that? And I learned that from my dad because I got whipped for not knowing how to do things. Because it's my fault that I didn't listen to him when he explained it the first time, or I didn't ask questions. And I've learned something. People hardly, almost never, how'd you like that explanation? Ask questions. We've got to ask questions if we don't understand, for the reason of certainly knowing, bringing a safety into our lives. Take what God has given us and do the best we can for as long as we can. I think that's what we should do, don't you? Question. Have you stated your declaration of independence from this world and stated your declaration of independence to the next and to the God of the next? I think our declaration depends on how much we trust the document. I believe that home is the foundation of society. I believe church is the foundation of the home. And I believe then, therefore, that the church and the home are the foundation of government. They also, the church and home, are foundation of the workplace. You know, our country used to have a work ethic. Not anymore. People would rather sit back and say, hey, let the government take care of me. Then they had, give me. We got millions of these people that really don't want a job. Why? Because the home, the foundation of the home, has been eroded. Why? Because the churches are eroded. We used to have in this country an obedience to law. Why? Because of the thundering preaching from the church houses. I'm through. What am I saying? I'm saying we need a declaration of independence from this world and to the next. One that we're willing to put our signature on and say, I'm willing to die for this and I am going to live for it.